The Warriors podcast continues here after the All-Star break. We take a deep breath and get back to finishing this season strong, and we're with Warriors forward Eric Paschal, and we're in Chase Center, just down below from the BioFreeze Performance Center where the Warriors train, and we're in a room here to kind of get a little privacy. That's a dressing room at Chase Center where there's all kinds of music figures of note from the Bay Area. Too Short, E-40, Digital Underground, Souls of Mischief. It's kind of a vibe that we're going to continue through this podcast episode here as we take a musical journey with Eric throughout his life. And before we get to that, actually, I've kind of always wondered, practices that come right after All-Star breaks, are they more intense? Are they more involved in any particular way? Or are you just kind of getting back to action here?
I would say they're kind of more intense. I feel like they kind of feel like practices in preseason, just because, like, you have to play, get the cobwebs off, and just kind of just get the rust off a little bit. But definitely more intense and still fun. I mean, be able to play against each other finally again, and it's fun.
Great vibe out there today. And I think back to just a couple of days ago, the team was in Phoenix, and the next morning you're whisked off from Sky Harbor in Phoenix on our owner Joe Lacob's jet to Chicago for All-Star weekend. Kind of help us understand what the whole thing was for you, going from Phoenix to Chicago, change in weather quite a bit, but then really it was really fun to watch you in the Rising Stars game.
It was a lot. I mean, it meant a lot that Mr. Lacob was able to fly me on his private jet, and it felt like I was important enough to fly to All-Star weekend with him, so that was really cool. And definitely change the weather. I mean, I remember I landed in snow everywhere, but Chicago was fun. I mean, I had a great time. I mean, met like everybody from my agency out there, my friends, my family flew out there with me from New York. So Chicago was a great time, and the Rising Stars game was a lot of fun. I know a lot of people say I got snubbed, but I mean, it's all a part of it. It's fine. It's no big deal at all.
Took it very well in stride. I was watching when they did the trophy presentation, and Miles had a great game as well, and it was a lot of fun. You showed out really well. Ninth Wonder was down there making a lot of noise, a guy that you had met years ago. Now to the music talk, and you think about your journey, and I think about how hip-hop really began very near to your neighborhood, right there in New York City, and you're in Westchester County growing up, and life in Dobbs Ferry growing up set the scene at a Paschal family dinner table. You got your folks, your sisters, and what kind of things do y'all talk about, and what were you listening to back then in that time period as you kind of think back to that time frame?
Probably say the dinner table was just, we actually never sat at the dinner table. We would always sit in our living room because we have our love seat, our computer, like computer seat and a couch, and everybody, like one person would sit in the kitchen and we'll just laugh and watch movies and all that, and pretty much just joke around. And then listening to, probably when I was younger, I was listening to a lot of like Jay-Z, Biggie, just because like I have an older father, older sisters, so I was in a lot of gospel because my mom. So, and still when I go home, my mom is listening to gospel. Got my dad really into gospel as well, so definitely that. But yeah, for sure, just a lot of older rap. That's why like a lot of people are impressed with how much music I know, because like my older sister and my dad would just play the older songs. So like I would get the best of both worlds in terms of knowing the newer stuff, but still knowing like where it all came from.
Did y'all do basketball talk in that situation? I mean, the games, the TV on, you know, the family kind of gathering around that living room. Was basketball a center of talk in your household?
Yeah, when I was younger, especially now. But yeah, my mom just watches, like, at first my mom, when I was in AAU, like, she barely watched basketball on TV. And like now, she watches like every game. Like every game that's on, like, even if it's not me, she'll watch it. And like, especially if it's one of my teammates or my best friend, like she'll watch it, but she'll watch Villanova still just because I went there, and they keep up with everything.
It's amazing how like once we get into these situations and our family knows that we're like a part of an organization or a team, like how much that takes hold and like how it becomes communal in many ways, and everybody gets totally to be a hold of that. And I, you know, I think it's been well documented, your relationship with Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. Ty Jerome, AAU teammate at the same time, making some noise. We saw him in Phoenix the other day. But I mean, your AAU memories, and you think back to that time, you guys being out at tournaments and going to Little Rock and making noise with the team that you're with. What was the soundtrack at that time period, and how did music help your teammates and you relate to new experiences together?
At that time, it was around a time where A$AP Rocky was blowing up. So he came out with his first mixtape, probably one of my favorite mixtapes ever. A lot of Meek Mill, because that's when all his Dream Chasers stuff came out. I would say those two was like the most I remember, but like I would still listen to like the older tracks. But it helped us out a lot because it just made us bond. Like I remember after we went to Little Rock, we drove up to Wisconsin because Donovan was scared to fly. He hated flying. And like we were just like, "Do you guys want to drive?" And we was like, "Sure, like we'll drive for him. Like we just won a national championship. It would be fun." And like that whole ride, we'll listen to like Meek Mill's like mixtape or like A$AP Rocky's mixtape or like just anything that was like relevant at that time.
Does it ever put like a smile on your face when you're in an arena and you hear like one of the DJs in the arena do a throwback tune like that and you think back to a memory, like that kind of memory?
For sure. Who was playing? We were at, it was a away game, and they were playing a lot of like older like hip hop, like not old hip hop, but like the 2000s, 2010s hip hop.
I'm thinking Philadelphia, because the DJ there does do some throwback stuff. Brooklyn too.
Was it Philly? It might have been Philly. I think it was Philly. And I remember hearing like a few songs. I'm like, wow, like I haven't heard this in a little while, but I'm pretty sure it was Philly.
That is one of the great features of being in an NBA venue. Our DJ, D Sharp, does a great job with that stuff too. And I think too of this trip I took a couple of years ago when Kevin Durant was playing for the Warriors. We went to New York and he had done an event at Dyckman Park, and it's unbelievable. It is the epicenter of basketball and community. And the cool thing to me is that the elevated subway is right above the park, and you feel like you're really in the center of where basketball is in Harlem and people coming together to watch those games. And I understand that you were literally a teenager, and the games I was watching, there was like grown men playing, and it was like serious competition. But how much being like a 16-year-old did playing at Dyckman inform your game to be what it maybe even is today?
At first, I hated playing at Dyckman because I was just so skinny and they were just bullying me. And I was just like, all right, I don't like this. Like, I'm not playing. But like, as I got older and like got stronger, I remember like going back out there and like loving it, like loving the environment, loving like just the atmosphere of it, the train running by, the music, like, It's one of my, like, I go back every summer, not even just like to play, I go back to watch because I just love that environment. I love like how lit it is at the park, and it's real cool. And I remember KD played in it like a few years ago. He played in, like, he made like a New York tour, like he played in Rucker. I remember everybody was going crazy because he had 66 at Rucker. But I love the environment of Dyckman. I mean, everybody. I'm pretty known at Dyckman now because I played and earned my stripes. You definitely got to earn your stripes out there, and I've definitely like embraced it, promoted, and Dyckman is my favorite tournament, best summer tournament.
So from that period, which you're in high school in Dobbs Ferry, then a year at prep school in Connecticut, but then it's Fordham where you end up, and you know, a nice note there is that Khalid Robinson, Coach Kerr's chief of staff, guy who really helps make everything run here and puts on great music playlists as well at our practices, played for the Fordham Rams. And you end up there, and it's kind of been talked about before, but to your mind, when you think back to that period before you got to Villanova, what did that time period mean? And back to the music theme, what was kind of pumping around that time period?
Music-wise, what was I listening to? That was 14? There was one like album that came out in 14. It might have been J. Cole's 2014 Forest Hills Drive. That time was real cool. I mean, that time was just like, I was close to home, so I saw my parents a lot. I got Thanksgivings and Christmases at home. And it was real cool, funny, because when my freshman year, Rolly Massimino's grandson was there, Matt Massimino. And now like we both went to Fordham. My next year, he's still at Fordham, and the year after that, he comes to Villanova too. So that's hilarious too. And then next thing you know, now he works for the Phoenix Suns. So that's the funniest part to me, because like we've seen each other for 5-6 years now, and like now like we're both in the NBA. He's working for the Suns. I'm playing for the Warriors. And it's real cool to see that.
his legacy and his family's legacy with Villanova. It's unbelievable too, and you feel it when you go to campus. There are campuses in our country that are part of schools that are not like, I don't want to call them sleepers, but they're some of the greatest institutions in our country that are outside of the Ivy Leagues that are in big cities. Villanova for Philadelphia, you maybe say like Georgetown for DC, place like Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Rice in Houston. There's these places that are smaller universities that mean so much. But the thing is, when you take a step back, they don't typically win national championships. And you think of 85 and Raleigh Massimino's Villanova Wildcats team and what Ed Pinckney and that crew did against, the Georgetown competition back then. And then you think to when you guys did it. That's what to me is so impressive about what Villanova has done in recent years. So your time at Villanova, again, a lot of these things have been well documented because we saw you in national championship games and some of them were amazing. I will tell you that what you guys did to make a name for yourselves, it's just absolutely so impressive. What was the whole Villanova experience for you? Because as an outsider coming to campus and seeing what it is, it's a really special place.
I feel like it's exactly what everybody sees from the outside. I mean, just in terms of how it's ran, like how like the campus life is and how like how much pride Villanovans have in Villanova. I mean, even out here, I'm real close with the assistant AD at Villanova, and she told me like some Villanova alumni were holding an event for Villanova students. So I went to the event because it was out in San Francisco and just talked to them. And then in Phoenix, actually, after the game, there was like a little Villanova event like on the main floor to the arena. So me and Mikel went and talked to them for like a little bit, and like it was like 20-30 Villanova alumni. It's just crazy how like Villanova's all over the place and the pride that Villanova has, and like if you went to Villanova, like you're family forever. So that's the great thing about it.
You certainly got a feeling for that when seeing that in person at those Final Fours. And I almost think of what's the unspoken here. You spoke of Mikel Bridges and Dante DiVincenzo and Jalen Brunson and Amari Spellman, who was here with the Warriors for the time period that he was here to start the season. And, do you guys ever stop and kind of think to yourselves how unreal it is that you've all collectively come together and cross paths so often here in the NBA? I mean, when you see these guys, when you make these different stops, how much is there a recognition for how special it is? Because the only equivalency I could say is maybe like Alabama football, but per capita, I would say players on a college team that end up in the NBA, you guys have that down pat.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, right after I went to Chicago, I went to Temple versus Villanova game, and it was me, Phil, and Jalen Brunson. And like one thing you notice is like once you leave the school, you see how much like pride you have in that school. Like you graduated, you put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that school. And it's funny to see like now, like we're all in the NBA, like, and it was all on one team. So like that was like the craziest part. And then like even before like Ryan Arcidiacono that I played with for the year, Josh Hart and plays on the Pelicans, I played with for two. So like stuff like that is crazy just to see like how we're all in the NBA now. And like we laugh about it because we have little arguments like 2016 is better. It would beat the 2018 team, and we say 2018 team would beat the 2016 team. So like it's cool. It's crazy that we're able to even have those arguments because we were all there during that time. So it's real cool. I mean, it's crazy to see, and like every time we see each other, we laugh about it. And we laugh about our memories, and it's a real cool environment. Like I said, like it's a family. Like we're all family.
Well, I think back to the Philadelphia music scene. That's a music scene in its own right that's great. You spoke of Meek Mill earlier, but also, I mean, just I guess in that time period, we'll wrap up the music talk, but what were some Philadelphia sounds that you were able to get into by being there on the scene?
A lot of Meek Mill. So, like, whatever Meek Mill would come out, like, we would hear it because, like, everybody in Philly, but definitely a lot of Meek Mill, a lot of Little Uzi. Because, like, he was from Philly. But those two, for sure, we heard a lot.
All right. Last thing here as we wrap things up. We always do an overtime round. It's like a lightning round. Simple answers. We've got a couple ones for you. Your favorite home-cooked meal?
I got to answer this right because my mom and my sister both cook. So for my I'm gonna say for my sister and mom. For my mom, her whole Thanksgiving spread, like anything she cooks on Thanksgiving, like, and then for my sister, because I'm half Liberian, so it's an African dish called palm butter and jollof rice. So those two.
If you weren't an athlete, what do you think you would want to be doing? It's a dream to be playing in the NBA and a true blessing, but if this wasn't what you were doing, what would you be doing perhaps?
Something in music. I'm real big into music. Like, that's how me and Ninth Wonder ended up becoming really close, because like, I just wanted to talk to him. Like, I've heard, like, one of my favorite songs is Threat by Jay-Z, and he produced that, and it's like, he's worked with the greatest. So like, me and him have kept contact and become real close after that.
Kalena Azubuike, the Warriors former player, who's now our color analyst, makes beats as well. Just keep that in mind. Always has the software. David West used to do this on some of the planes. Like, it's a tradition. Go with it. Truthfully, go with it. Most influential person in your life or your career?
My dad. My dad's given me a lot of knowledge throughout my younger days, and I try to carry it on today. So like, sometimes like whenever I'm going through a rough time, I just think about like whatever my dad would say to me, and it works every time.
Final thing, I'm not going to ask you your favorite musical artist. We've hit a lot of musical artists, but what was the first bit of music that thoroughly grabbed your attention and caught your imagination as to why music matters, why there's a rhythm to it, why there's tones, why there's a way to believe in something bigger than just what's obviously coming through a speaker, is that there's something beyond all this? What might that have been?
J. Cole, in terms of just like, he produces his own things, doesn't do features anymore, like doesn't do features on his own albums anymore, and just like what he says and like how he says it, he's like, I feel like one of like top five ever. And like, I feel like he was like the first person to really like make me listen more to music, like music to hear what they're saying.
Brilliant stuff. You are awesome. Thank you so much for taking this much time to talk with us, not just about your life and the music, but also basketball. And really, as we get to know you, I mean, you're a rookie player making huge noise, play like a vet. And we love seeing what you're doing and can't wait to see everything that comes here. Eric Paschal, thank you so much for joining the Warriors podcast.
Appreciate you having me.